What is up, guys? Welcome to Synthopsis, episode 8, Consistency. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Here we go. Thank you all so much for coming. Welcome to Synthopsis episode 8. We are doing a 3-part artist analysis on Purdy Bear's music. And each episode is going to have a specific focus. This one we're talking about consistency. So what exactly is consistency? All that jazz. Basic overview, it's having your music sound like it was made by you. Having it sound consistent and uniform. Having a kind of consistent sound. It's not super complicated or anything. You can have consistency across albums. For example, in his work, he has a lot of albums that kind of dip their hands in different pots, have different subgenres, different feels. But all the time, his music sounds like it was made by him. It sounds consistent. It has a consistent feel, a consistent style. And there's also consistency across song styles, such as the slow, beautiful poetry of Minuet, which we'll play at the end of the episode. And then you've got the more intense songs, such as Welcome to Nocturne City, Cult of 112. But still, even despite these songs sounding so different in like tempo, they still sound like they're made by Perturbator. So this is what I mean when I say consistency. It's just having your stuff sound consistent, even if it's different. Different is not bad. Different is good. Actually, we're going to talk a lot about different next episode. But having that consistent narrative, I think, is really important. And it's important for a lot of reasons. It allows you to carve out a unique sound for yourself. If you're an artist, it allows you to basically say, if you have a consistent sound over multiple songs, multiple albums, to say, hey, this is what I sound like. This is what my music sounds like. You can basically carve out that little sound, that portion of the interweb, music interweb, synth, whatever. You can carve out that sound for yourself and tell everyone else kind of, you know, back off. This is me. This is my style. So if you're kind of all over the place, you know, like you have one album that sounds, you know, like something. Maybe you have one album that sounds like Carpenter Brute. And then you have another album that sounds very, very different, like not Carpenter Brute. It's tough for people to really get behind that and be like, I can understand what this artist sounds like. And I personally prefer consistency a lot. I think it's really important. So, and in general, I think consistency is important. I mean, this is maybe more of a personal preference, but I like consistency. I like knowing that when an artist releases a song, I have an idea in my mind of what to expect. I have a preconceived notion of what to expect, and I'm pretty sure that basically everyone else does too. And I like having these expectations be met to a degree. Of course, not all the time, like to be completely the same. But I, you know, I like having my expectations be delivered to a bit like what I expect an artist to sound like, basically. So that's what consistency is. That's why it's important. So let's take a, now we're going to take a deeper look of consistency within Prairie's music. That's kind of the overview. But also, quick side note, this artist analysis will not be focusing on any branding elements such as album work, atmosphere, etc. We're just sticking primarily to the sounds. So consistency, what that other stuff does matter, but for this episode, we're not going to worry about it. We're just worrying about the sound, basically. So how does Perturbator achieve consistency? He utilizes a toolkit of similar, though not always completely repetitive, musical notes throughout the majority of his music. By using these notes over and over, he has cemented them as iconic and unique parts of his style. You'll hear them and you instinctively know that you're listening to a Perturbator song. I like to call these notes signatures, since they are in a sense akin to the signature that he writes on almost all of his album covers. You see his signature on an album and you know it's his album, right? If you had like 1,000 different album covers in front of you and you were asked to pick the one for Perturbator's albums, you'd know clearly which ones were his because of his signature. And these notes are very much the same. You hear one of these signatures in a song and you know it's one of his songs. They stand out. They're unique. They're iconic. Or at least you know it's a song that he's worked on, that he's put his mark on, that he's written his signature on. They are the memorable aspects of his music that basically have his name written all over them. And it's kind of like, I mean, if I'm going to make a wacky analogy, which I love to, it's kind of like a hamburger. The most critical part of a hamburger, in my opinion, I'm obviously not a food critic, but is the buns, right? If you don't got buns, you don't got a burger. But within the buns, you can put whatever you want. You can put chicken, you can put beef. But that's basically what the signature is. It's the core component that serves as kind of the bun, if you will. Everything else can be changed. But once you've got the signatures within songs, you can change the tempo, you can change the atmosphere, you can even change the subgenre. But the signature helps identify that it belongs to you and that it's your song. I hope that makes sense. But basically, signatures are hamburger buns. So which notes exactly am I referring to as the signatures? For starters, and perhaps the most iconic signature, are his high-pitched lead notes. These are in basically every single song. They are the notes that jump out at you and tell you where to go, how to move, etc. I'm going to fire off 3 songs real quick from a variety of albums just to give you a quick sample of what they sound like and how similar they are, despite some of these songs being made years apart. But pay attention to the high-pitched notes, the ones that jump out at you right away. So it's those high-pitched notes, which are in basically all of his songs. You can hear those notes in basically everything. I mean, it's just go through any Perturbator song. Pick a random song. You'll basically hear that song. You'll hear those notes. They're just so iconic to him. When I think of his music, I really think of those. But not only that, Perturbator has more signatures. They're not the only ones. I would argue that he has a variety of them, and he mixes and matches them as he pleases to create music that sounds like it was made by him. He also uses augmented notes, aka notes that are long and drawn out, rather a lot. If you our regular listener, I talked a lot about augmented notes in episode 3 on Atmosphere when I was talking about slower tempo songs and how augmented notes, which are like really drawn out, can be used usually primarily to create atmosphere in slower tempo songs. Perturbator uses them a lot, but they're not always in the background. A lot of time they're often in the foreground, and sometimes they actually get really freaking loud. And these are pretty common. And I really love these notes. I don't think really anyone uses augmented notes in this way. I think it's incredibly unique for him. That's a common thing. So again, I'm gonna fire off a few more songs. And those notes, they are more often in the slower tempoed songs like Fantasy. They're really prominent. Minuet. But like those three songs I wanted to play are a bit faster tempo, Vile World and Welcome Nocturne City, because they also featured those augmented notes in them. So they're a really iconic thing of his. And whenever I hear those, I instantly think Perturbator. I think they're just such a unique thing that he does, and I really, really like them a lot. I think he uses them super well. You've also got consistency in the drums. His songs often have a drum pattern referred to as four on the floor. It's just an alternate in between a kick and a snare. It's super common pattern for electronic and dance music. So here, pay attention to the drums. I wrote please in the script, so please, guys, put your phones down and pay attention. I don't know why I wrote please, but whatever. Please. Here we go. So yeah, that drum pattern is really common. I'm not going to talk more about the drums. I'm going to talk a lot more about them in the third episode, which is really going to pick apart kind of the skeleton, if you will, of his music, like the separation of layers. That's the third episode. But those are the most audible and common signatures to me. I'm sure there are definitely more, but you know, for the sake of brevity, I can't go through everything. But whenever I hear those things, like really they stand out to me, they're iconic, and I know I'm beating the same horse to death throughout this entire episode, but that's really what consistency is. It's having something that's unique to your style, notes, patterns, whatever. It can be literally anything. Maybe you start like half your songs with like a nice drop or something. That's just something iconic to you. That's a signature. It doesn't have to be a high-pitched note. It doesn't have to be drum. It can be literally anything. Just something that speaks to you and is important to your music that you want to be memorable and iconic. These are just the things that Pertabeer does as examples. All right. So I run my mouth as I love to and often do. Let's take a quick song break and then we'll come back and talk about some more shenanigans. Here is Vigilante 2084 from his last album, last fall, B-Sides Remix Volume 2. This was one of my top songs for this year. It's freaking phenomenal. I love it to death. So we will BRB. Enjoy this wonderful, wonderful. Still fine. Stop. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I hope you guys had a wonderful 5-minute intermission. Or if you skipped a song and you're listening to the VOD, I hope you had, not VOD, it's not a video, the recording, as this is a podcast, I hope you had a great 2-second intermission. Though if you did skip that song, I'm a little disappointed, I'll be honest. All right, so now that we've talked about signatures, what they are and what some examples of them are in Proto Bear's music, let's wrap things up with how exactly signatures can be used. If you're an artist and you're like, okay, now I know what a signature is, I have heard them in Proto Bear's music, I'm now dying to know, how can I create or use signatures? I'm so glad that you're dying to know that. That's on your mind at on 8:24 p.m. on a Sunday. Well, they serve as the core of the song, as I mentioned, the burger bun, the kind of structure, skeleton thing in the center that kind of holds everything together that should be based upon. And my belief is that the songs really should be based upon these signatures, kind of like have them form as the foundation, if you will. I think it's good to always throw the signatures in your music, regardless of what you're doing. You know, if you have an album, and you have like this well-known style, you have these signatures, and then you're like, I want to try something new. And this is a little bit more into next week's episode on risk and innovation. But you're like, I want to try something new. Just throwing some signatures, because what that does is it allows you to try something new, but it reminds people that they're still listening to your music, right? Use signatures to free yourself and open yourself up to different song types. Don't think that maybe, I don't know, let's say you're Cheesemaster T-Rex. I'm going to use this weird thing I came up with a few weeks ago. But say you're Cheesemaster T-Rex and you make Jurassic Wave, right? This is your thing. This is your special thing in synthwave for whatever reason. Like, that's your thing. But you're like, man, I always make slow tempo music. I want to dip my hand in the dark synth pool because it's edgy and it's cool. But my listeners might not like it because I make slower stuff. This is when signatures come into play. You can do whatever the hell you want, as long as you have something that reminds people that they're listening to you. And that's what signatures are great at. So maybe if you open your songs up with a nice intro, like I mentioned, like a nice drop, if that's something that's iconic to you, maybe make a dark synth song or two, have that drop in there or whatever is iconic for you, so then people can be like, oh yeah, this is the guy I know I love, this is Cheesemaster T-Rex, but it's just with that dark synth touch, you know? Like with Proto Bear's music, the new model EP is really the one that stands out to me the most as being the most different and the most off the trail for most of his music. It's the most industrial, it's the most cyberpunk, it's the most intense, really. Uncanny Valley a bit too. But new model, I mean, it still sounds like his music. It doesn't sound like a different adventure that Perturbator just happened to go on. No, it sounds like Perturbator made cyberpunk industrial, right? Especially think of an example, like off the top of my head, I can't play it right now, but Tainted Empire, that solo in the middle from like 2:02 from like 2:30 is so Perturbator. It has those beautiful high pitched keys that I mentioned. It doesn't really have much augmentation, but it has the drum pattern I played Corrupted by Design when I was playing the drum samples. But you know, this is what I'm really trying to say. You can use signatures to try new things. Don't feel like you're restricted to something small because that's what you do. If you want to experiment, by all means experiment. Experiment with different song types, experiment with different album types, but just do something that reminds people of your music. And that's what signatures do best. Though the one side note, the one I think real danger of signatures is repetition. On the one hand, if you don't use signatures, if you don't remind people of your music and you just do something new, they might be like, what the hell is this? I don't know what I'm listening to. This isn't the artist that I know and love. On the other hand, if you stick too close to your signatures, you might not have enough variety. You might not take enough risk. And you might just sound like you're regurgitating the same music over and over, which I think is really bad. I don't like that at all. And I don't like using the B word, but I think it is kind of bad, you know? So, you know, I think it's good to strike that balance in between, like, kind of staying to your center and then being flexible. It's like in basketball, actually, kind of. Like, I'm not by any means a basketball player or anything, but they always say, like, use one foot as your pivot. Like, that's your foot that stays. And then your other foot can move around as freely as you want. You know, if you pivot both feet, you're not moving. You're not trying new things. And someone might come smack the ball out of your hand. But if you move both your feet, you're traveling. And that's obviously not good. So you got to strike that balance, I think. And when you strike that balance, you can go basically wherever you want. You can do whatever you want. So, and that's really all I want to say on consistency. Usually my episodes are a bit longer, but I feel like this topic's a little more straightforward. I don't want to beat it to death for no reason. So we'll leave it at that, you know. I do want to give some shout outs to a few other artists that also do consistency really well throughout a lot of their albums and work. I'd say the vast majority of them. Master Boot Record, for one, has carved out this really, really unique sound of black, like basically black metal with chip-ish kind of, I don't know exactly how to describe it. I've only found his music a few weeks ago, but it still blows me away. It's so amazing. And you can go back and listen to his other stuff, his older music, and it still sounds like in the same style as his newer stuff. His newer stuff just sounds a lot more polished. But he's always stuck to his style, basically. Same with Ghost, G-O-S-T, the dark synth dude that anyone into dark synth really probably knows and loves. His first three albums are very synth-heavy, very dark synth-heavy, but his past two, Valediction and Possessor, are much, much heavier on the black metal, the death metal. This might sound a little weird, but he does throw in a lot of really good synths that harken back to his older stuff, but also his background as a black metal, death metal dude makes his transition, his switch, much more kind of believable. I put that in air quotes, you know. Technically, you can try anything and make it work, but having that background always helps you out, I think. So I think his sticking to his style and having those signatures help a lot also. And lastly, for our honorable shout-outs, Dance with the Dead. You can go back and listen to their old stuff, and it sounds much, much similar to their newer stuff, you know. They have improved and grown over the years and have tried new things, but they've always stuck to their core. They have their own set of identifiable signatures that just work for them, basically. So that's basically it. It's, you know, not really ludicrously crazy. It's just having a style that works for you and using it to try new things, basically. But being mindful of that, I think, is really important, because if you go and try new things but aren't aware that maybe your stuff doesn't sound like it used to, people might be a little turned off by that. I know I am, especially, too. Especially if I don't like how it sounds. If I listen to something, it doesn't remind me of an artist and it doesn't sound good, I don't know. That's something I really strongly dislike, personally. So we'll leave it at that. We'll finish up the episode with the last five, where I update you guys on new releases, updates on the Twitterverse, any other big stuff going on. Time for the last five, where I update you guys on new releases, etc. Stuff that's come out basically in the past week or happened. First and foremost, releases. Eli Arson album announced for February 7th. I love Eli Arson. I think they make some awesome stuff. I'm very excited. They say that this album is going to be kick-ass. So I'm very much looking forward to it. Water break. Excuse me. Talking a lot makes my throat hoarse. So that's going to be great. I'm going to be keeping you guys posted on that. Speaking of Master Boot Record, he has an album coming out in March. I am extremely excited for that too. He says this album is going to be his best thing yet, and I believe him. So that's going to be awesome. Updates on that to come, but I'm just trying to get you guys hyped. Meister Meyer released an album called Genetis Decal. I'm sure I'm butchering that. I apologize. It's 10 tracks. You can find it on Bandcamp. It's basically like RPG soundtracks, basically, like background music, kind of. Megan McDuffie EP, Barely Covered, has been released. 3 songs. Didn't listen to it, of course. I'm often not that great listening to new music, so I apologize. I do try to listen to everything that anyone sends me, but sometimes I don't get around to it. I'm just lazy. Alex single, Surging Chaos, is out. He is also releasing an album soonish. I don't know exactly when, but he said it's fully instrumental. In the past, he's done a lot of vocal work with Megan McDuffie and... I can't think of the other female artists off the top of my head. But this album is fully instrumental. It's a new thing for him, and he's really hyped about it, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes. User album Influence is out. It is very interesting. It's a social commentary about basically social media and influencer culture. I like it. I encourage you guys to check it out, especially if that's something that you think is a problem, which I think is a very big problem. Synthwave aside. And Neon Arcadia released a new single called Daydreams. And that's all I have for releases. Some quick news. Starcadian, Tokyo Rose, Zarina, and Primo, the Alien concert, announced March 14th, Saturday in Brooklyn. Guys, for $12. Get your tickets right now because that show is going to be sold out. It's in the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn. It's going to be amazing. I am going. I'm going to be there. If you want to come hear my beautiful voice in person and you want to get a photo or whatever, if you're that much of a fan, it's going to be awesome. There's going to be a bunch of other awesome people there. Dennis Groot is going, Jules Neon Fox is going, a bunch of awesome people are going. It's going to be a hell of a party. It's going to be fun, super fun. So please get your tickets while you can. Don't say I didn't warn you. All right, that's all I have like for updates and stuff. Next week's episode will be part two of the Per Bear analysis, and we're going to be looking at risk and innovation within Perturbator's albums and music. Not the board game. I can't stand Risk the board game. There are a million other board games I'd rather play. But yes, we're going to be talking about risk and innovation and why I think it's important as hell to keep things fresh, keep things exciting, and how I think why I think Perturbator is so damn good at it. So that's going to be next week. You can listen to Synthopsis live if you are listening to the podcast every Sunday at 8 p.m. EST, Eastern U.S. time, on Night Ride FM. And if you are listening now, thank you all so much. I greatly appreciate it. Don't forget to follow on Twitter, please, at SynthopsisPod, for updates and shenanigans and my subpar humor. I like to share new releases, stuff I find, whatever. It's cool. So, thank you all so much for listening, whether you listened live, whether you listened unlive, not unlive, whether you listened on the podcast or not, I greatly appreciate it. I love you all. We're going to close out the episode with Minuet, I mentioned a few times. It's from Dangerous Days, but I think it's a criminally, I think it's a criminally overlooked album. I mean, which is kind of tough because Dangerous Days was his best album sales-wise and plays-wise. And they had Future Club and a bunch of other awesome songs in that. But Minuet is so special. It's poetry. It's beautiful. It's slow. It's one-of-a-kind song in synthwave. I have yet to find anything close to this song in sound or style. So please enjoy this song. It is absolutely one of my favorites. Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you all... hope you all have a great week, and I'll see you guys later. Synthopsis out.
should.